Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the first Sunday in June at Christ Church. Summer is here, and for these 2 months of road construction season, let's enjoy it while we can. Yeah. Summer is a great time for weddings. We had a couple yesterday, as you heard, graduation parties, lots of those coming up now, picnics, vacations, family gatherings at the cabin, at home, all types of opportunities to practice hospitality. Isn't that a great word? Hospitality. It means welcoming people in a special way. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, the biblical concept of hospitality and what I'm going to call strategic hospitality. Hospitality that is offered in the name of Jesus. But first, a question. Is the church, or should the church, even Christ Church of Otsego, be a place that is even friendlier than Disney World? You thought about that question lately? Probably not. Disney World is called the friendliest, happiest place on earth. I mean, from the moment you land in the parking lot until the moment you leave, you are greeted, welcomed, ushered, entertained in every way so that, you know, you walk out of there saying that $100 that I paid for my ticket today was really worth it. It was a magical day, right? And many of you have been there and know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, the church is not a magical place. It's a place with real people, with real needs, but with a real gospel, and many have called the church the hope of the world. And so I would contend that Christ Church, that every church should be as friendly and as happy, or even more so than Disney World. What distinguishes, my friends, biblical hospitality from a paid cast of characters in a fantasy land? Here's a definition to start to chew on, and you have some notes there today. Webster's Dictionary says, hospitality is the act or practice of receiving or entertaining strangers or guests without reward. And you'd be surprised that this is actually very close to a biblical definition of hospitality. The Greek word for hospitality is phileo xenia. Phileo means brotherly love or affection. It's the root word from which we get the name of the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? Xenos means stranger, and a word that you sometimes hear today is xenophobia, which is the fear of strangers. But when you put these two Greek words together, biblical hospitality literally means to love strangers. Say that with me. To love strangers. That's biblical hospitality. To see strangers and even those who may have been enemies as future brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, stay with me here. Henry Nouwen, a well-known Catholic priest who's written some wonderful books over the years, has an awesome quote about hospitality. Here it is. Hospitality is a fundamental attitude toward our fellow human beings. When we meet and greet strangers with the attitude that they will soon become our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have confronted the stranger in us all. Where have we missed it as a church? My premise this morning, the premise for this message is this. We've made hospitality to be about hanging out with friends rather than reaching out to strangers and even enemies. And when we do that, the church runs the risk of becoming ingrown, a fellowship of the saints, rather than a hospital for sinners. Why is this distinction important when it comes to the church and our Christian faith? Friends, because we were all strangers at one time. Let's start in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, verses 33 to 34. The writer of the Pentateuch, Moses, says, "When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them." Think of our changing neighborhoods today and how many so-called foreigners are residing in our lands. Let's contemporize it. "The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And any time a phrase in the Old Testament ends with that sentence, I am the Lord your God, we'd better perk up and pay attention, because it's as though God is saying, this is really important. We've all been the new kid on the block, right? We've all been that one that's been out of our comfort zone, out of place, not knowing anybody at some time in our lives, and it doesn't feel very good. It's tough to go into a new setting, especially a church, and not know anyone. Think of the courage that actually takes for people to show up here for the very first time. God reminds us here that we are to love even the stranger as we love ourselves. And it's passages like this that became part of Jesus' admonition that we call the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and what? Love your neighbor as yourself. There you see it in Leviticus. Let's take a look at a passage now from the New Testament. The Apostle Paul makes a very powerful statement in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. He says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. He's talking to the Gentiles who were outside the Jewish faith. And as you know, there was a great division between Jew and Gentile. Either you were Jewish or you were everything else. And it was a tremendous dividing wall during Jesus' lifetime. Well, today we think of the divisions that exist between so many groups, between races and cultures and religions. So have that in your mind as you now hear the rest of this passage. Paul goes on to say, but now in Christ, on this side of the cross and the resurrection, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. In Christ Jesus, we are no longer strangers and enemies, no matter who we are, no matter what our background. Hospitality is literally the act of knocking down the walls that divide us. And oh, how our world needs to grasp this truth today. Why practice hospitality? Well, we welcome strangers not because of their goodness, but for God's glory. Our desire is that they too will experience God's love and provision and become brothers and sisters in Christ. Let that settle in for a moment. That's a profound truth from God's Word and one that is vital for the church today. We don't welcome strangers on the basis of who they are or how good they are or what we think they might contribute somehow. We welcome strangers because it gives God glory. Amen? Our desire is that every stranger that comes through these doors, every stranger that moves into your neighborhood, every stranger that shows up at your school, every stranger that moves into your workplace, is a potential follower of Christ. They may already be, but how will you know that unless you get to know them first? As I said, the church isn't a club for those who already know Jesus. It's a hospital for sinners where people can be made well and become part of a family. Let's look at another New Testament passage. In Romans 12, verses 9 through 13, Paul says specifically that we are to practice hospitality. That means there's a growth curve here. That hospitality does not come naturally or easily. This biblical concept of hospitality does not come naturally or easy to any of us, because it requires that we step outside our comfort zones. That we don't just hang out with our friends, but that we see those strangers among us. Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. practice hospitality. There it is. What makes for a friendly church? Well, just in those few verses are lifted up tremendous concepts that we all need to be about practicing. Sincerity, love, goodness, devotion, honor, enthusiasm, passion, service, joy, hope, patience, faith, prayer, generosity. They're all there in those four verses. Wow. A church like this would be friendlier than Disney World. The question is, are we these things only to each other, to those we already know, or are we these things to the stranger, to the guest, to the new person among us, and not only here, but everywhere in our daily lives? One more passage from 1 Peter, and I'm already working up a sweat on this one, I'll tell you. This is a good thing to get hot about, isn't it? 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 10, Peter says, read this one with me. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You see, biblical hospitality is about using our gifts and our resources to love others deeply. That's what Peter says. So here's a question that I encourage you to ask even as we begin this summer in Minnesota. How can I draw the most people into a deep experience of God's love by the use of my home or God's home? These are among the resources and opportunities that God has given you to love others in His name, to serve others, to welcome the stranger. And it begins today. So here are three suggestions for how to implement strategic hospitality as a believer. And the first is what I would call the welcome factor. You know, we have a hospitality team here. We have a team led by Janet Huss, who consists of ushers and greeters on both ends of the building, our welcome desk people, our Blessed Bean coffee shop people. They all understand that their role is that of hospitality, to make strangers feel welcome. But what I want you to understand, and we need more people on that team, by the way, but what I want you to understand today is that we're all on God's hospitality team. We're all on the welcome team at Christ Church. And so when you come to worship, come with your eyes open. Come and see not only your friends when you walk through the door, but have your eyes open to look around the room, look around the worship center, and see that person who's new that you've never met before. That's a shift in focus for many of us who are members of God's church. The second thing is to extend a hand. In the Bible, it's called the right hand of fellowship. And in biblical times, when you extended a hand to a stranger or even an enemy, it was a way of showing them that you weren't carrying a weapon. You weren't about to attack them. You were reaching out a hand of fellowship. And it holds true today, doesn't it? When we take a step forward, when we say good morning, welcome, I'm not sure I remember your name, have we met before? Welcome to Christ Church. When you extend that hand of fellowship, it speaks of the love of God. It says, I want to be your friend, not a stranger. This requires that we have our hearts engaged, that we understand that the mission of the church is always to have our eyes open for the new person. And that when we're outside the church, in all those other places where we live and work and play, the same thing is true, to have our hearts engaged to share the love of Christ and to be sincere as we do it. And then here's something we've talked about many times before over the years. It's what we call the five-minute rule. Do you remember? 5 minutes after the end of every worship service, all of us should be focused on greeting someone around us that we don't know yet, or that we'd like to get to know better. But especially, I've given you an acronym today, PWHR. Can you guess what that stands for? Post-worship hospitality radar. Isn't that good? Post-worship hospitality radar. That means that at the end of the service, your radar should be on, let me suggest, a 15 to 20 foot circle around you. You should be scanning like radar does for blips on the radar of people that you don't know. Someone that's here in worship for the very first time. Maybe you don't know whether it's their first time, but it doesn't hurt you to go up and say, "Hi, I'm Greg. Nice to meet you. What's your name?" And that's what PWHR is all about. So I'm going to encourage you all to incorporate that at the end of this service very specifically, and then carry that out into the lobby for further conversation with coffee and a fellowship time. Okay, here's the second suggestion for strategic hospitality. It's what I will call the friendship factor. Now, hospitality, as we've been saying, is not primarily about your friends here. It's about welcoming the stranger, the guest, the new person, the one who may not yet know Jesus. For this to happen in a congregation like ours, we have to constantly be willing to widen our circles of friendship, to understand small groups as organic, not static, and to open our homes once again and recover that biblical understanding of hospitality in the home. If you've been around this place for a while, you might ask yourself the question, how many new friends have I made in the last 6 months, in the last year? Or am I just hanging out with the people that I've known for years and years here? If you're in a small group, you might ask yourself, has our small group evolved and changed and grown and developed? Is our small group open to welcoming new people? And if we get too big, are we open to dividing like an organic growing cell? That's why many churches call it cell ministry. Are we willing to divide in a healthy way so that we can continue to grow and expand and welcome new people? If your small group has been the same year in and year out, it's time for a change. That's not biblical hospitality. And furthermore, when was the last time you had somebody in your home? Now, Colleen and I are hosting a couple groups just in the next few weeks. We've got the council and staff coming over for a cookout. We've got the National Day of Prayer team from the metro area coming to our home for a cookout. That's not essentially biblical hospitality. I already know those people. I already love those people. Okay, great, we're opening our home up to some people we love and know. But what I'm talking about is inviting that neighbor over that you've been wanting to know, but you've never really gotten to know. Invite him over for a glass of iced tea in your backyard. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Take opportunities to welcome people that you meet at church. To say, hey, would you like to come over for dinner next Sunday? Step out of your comfort zone and make your home a place of ministry. It doesn't have to be fancy. There's something special that happens when we invite people into our homes. Do you know why? Because if we're believers, the peace of the Lord fills our homes. The presence of the Lord resides in our homes. And when people who don't know the Lord or are new in their faith step into that setting, they get touched by God, just like they do when they come through these doors. The third suggestion for strategic hospitality is what I want to call the growth factor. And this is something we've been focusing on with our Reach program of growing this church. But it's not about having a bigger church. It's about reaching more people for Christ. To do this, we have to defy gravity. We have to be bringers, and we have to be that ecclesia that we've been talking about. Now, you all know how gravity works. There's a physical force of nature that pulls everything toward the earth. And in the same way, there is a psychological, spiritual force of nature that pulls everything inside us and makes us desire to make it about ourselves, about getting our needs met. And to defy gravity, we have to embrace these truths of the Scripture and ask God for the power to reverse that and begin to look outward, begin to see the value in reaching out and reaching others who don't know Christ. To be a bringer is as simple as this. I want to challenge every one of you to bring one new person, or one new family to Christ Church during these summer months. A neighbor, a coworker, a friend, a classmate. Some of you did it even this morning because I met some of our guests in the lobby. Praise the Lord, it's happening. But I want you to bring people to Christ Church this summer who are new so that they will be ready to join us for what is being planned as a very exciting and meaningful fall season. Be a bringer. The surveys all show that if people are merely invited to a church, many, many people will gladly respond to that invitation. That takes the onus off of them to have to walk through that door for the first time by themselves on a Sunday morning. And that Greek word for the real church, ekklesia, is a power-packed word because it's not limited to what happens here within these four walls. It's about being the people of God wherever we are, whatever we're doing, in our homes, at the cabin, at work, at play. You are the church. Now get strategic for Christ. Friends, here's a principle of truth that I'm going to end on today that really stands the test of time. People will not care what you know until they know that you care. Say it with me. People will not care what you know until they know that you care. It's time that the real church of Jesus Christ and its people stood up and were counted. The hope of the world, that's what we are. And the friendliest, most welcoming place on planet Earth. Let's make that our goal at CCO. It starts with me and you. It starts this summer. Dare I say, it starts right now at the end of this service. Amen. Let's stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that hospitality is more than just a cup of coffee and a donut or a picnic with friends. It's about recognizing Jesus in our midst. It's about recognizing our call as servants of Christ to see the stranger, to welcome the stranger, to turn that stranger into a brother or a sister. And how many of us wouldn't even look around this sanctuary today at people that we've come to know and love and realize again that at one time we were strangers. But you did something in our hearts. You did something in our midst. Remind us today that everybody who comes through these doors, and so many more who don't have the courage to do so, are longing for that level of love, for that level of relationship. And we have the opportunity to give away what we have received. So bless us, Lord. Bless Christ Church. Bless this church family that we would have the eyes of faith to grow in strategic hospitality and that we would begin even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.